Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. There's a big, bad mess waiting at Foggy Bottom for the next Secretary of State. A world of hair-raising foreign policy dilemmas, a foreign policy bureaucracy in tatters. Right now, speculation is surging that President-elect Barack Obama is about to give the top job at the State Department to his former rival, Senator Hillary Clinton. This hour on Point, Hillary Clinton as Barack Obama's Secretary of State, the pros, the cons, the prospects. You can join the conversation. Is this the right spot for Hillary Clinton? Is Senator Clinton the right pick for Barack Obama, for the country, as Secretary of State? We'll be joined in a moment by two keen observers of diplomacy and politics. In the studio with me will be Peter Galbraith and Robert Kuttner. But joining me first from Philadelphia is the inestimable Trudy Rubin, foreign affairs columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer and a frequent guest on our show. Trudy, thanks for being here.
Lovely to be here.
We're going to look at the issues, the personalities, the politics, the whole thing. But first, give us the lay of the land, Trudy. Hillary Clinton went to Chicago last week, and boom, suddenly everybody was talking about Madam Secretary, potential Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. What did the lay of the land look like before this sort of Washington bombshell of late last week? Who was in the running?
Well, before last Thursday, when Hillary Clinton was invited to meet with Barack Obama in Chicago, you had a cast of characters that went like this. There was John Kerry, who is very interested. There was Bill Richardson, governor of New Mexico. You had the possibility of Senator Hagel, another Republican, or Senator Lugar, the ranking minority member of Senate Foreign Relations. And then a wild card sometimes talked about, General James Jones, the former NATO commander, Supreme Commander, and a few other names floating around as outliers. But then came the bombshell. And since then, it's been nothing but all Hillary all the time. And at the moment, her husband is being vetted, which is a serious process since there's the question of his post-presidential business dealings, raising money for his foundation and library. Might there be a conflict of interest? And there's also, in the last day, been rumors floated from her side that she's undecided about whether she wants it.
Now, where does the consideration stand, or what's known about it? As we speak, the informal word today is Eric Holder as Attorney General, but the Obama camp is very tight-lipped. I mean, is it clear what's going on in this conversation, or is it all cryptic? What's out there, what's not?
I don't think it's terribly clear. I think what's clear is that if President-elect Obama had not been seriously interested, he wouldn't have invited her. He had to have known that it would set off a firestorm, although I'm not certain that he understood what a firestorm and how much of a media circus it would become. He is said to be interested in team of rivals. We've heard that phrase ad nauseum over the week. Mm. Get your enemies into the tent and all kinds of language.
A la Abe Lincoln of eons back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what was it on Meet the Press? Do you want them, quoting the Lyndon Johnson phrase, do you want them peeing into the tent or peeing out of the tent?
Right,
I mean,
right.
This is on and on and on. So he had to have been seriously interested. It's unclear whether Senator Clinton has really made up her mind about where she wants to go after this bruising presidential campaign. Now that she recognizes she probably will not ever be president, this is a big choice to be made. And then, of course, there's the real question about whether she really is best suited for this job or this job for her.
And we will look at that. This report of her potential reported ambivalence about the job, is she really? I mean, really? Or is that, guarding her flank in case it doesn't all happen? Or what do we know?
Well, it's all leaks. It's mm-hmm. all rumors and gossip, contradictory leaks. What I would say is she should be thinking seriously and having some serious doubts about the job, because she has to think about what she wants to do and be. This is not a job where you can be an independent actor. You're not first lady going around the world, and you're certainly not president. You have to be the voice of the president, and you have to have him fully behind you. And you also have to consider that there is a vice president who is very well informed on foreign affairs and what your role will be vis-a-vis him. And in addition, you have to be a manager, a terrific manager, because the State Department is in terrible shape. It has dropped in numbers just as the need for serious diplomacy has increased. President-elect Obama has promised to put an emphasis on soft power, which means diplomacy and development, and the State Department is woefully unable to fill its mandates in that department. Is she the manager? She has to think about that. Her campaign didn't illustrate that she had good management skills, nor did her efforts at health care in the presidency.
Trudy, you've set the table beautifully. I knew you would. Let me introduce my in-studio guest. Trudy, if you'd stand by in Philadelphia for just a moment.
Sure.
Peter Galbraith has had a long career in the diplomatic corps, served as first U.S. ambassador to Croatia under President Bill Clinton. He's been a vigorous voice in the debates over the Iraq War and post-war reconstruction. He was a member of the broader circle of foreign policy advisors around both Senators Clinton and Obama in the presidential campaigns. He's now senior diplomatic fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation in Washington and the author of Unintended Consequences, How War in Iraq Strengthened America's Enemies. Ambassador Galbraith, welcome. Thanks very much for being here.
Very good to be with you.
Also with us is Robert Kuttner, co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect, distinguished senior fellow at the think tank Demos, and author of Obama's Challenge, America's Economic Crisis and the Power of a Transformative Presidency. Robert Kuttner, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Peter Galbraith, first to you. We've got kind of a yay and a nay at the table with me today. You say and believe Hillary Clinton would make a fine Secretary of State. Let's hear the case. How do you make it?
She's an extremely capable person. She was a terrific first lady, had a major role in policy and in representing the United States abroad. She's had a distinguished record as a senator from New York over 8 years. And she was a superb candidate for president. She went neck and neck against Senator Obama right to the end. She got 18 million votes, just a few thousand fewer than he did.
In the Democratic primaries, yep.
This is a person of enormous substance, respected around the world, who is herself extremely capable. In any other political environment, and up against, if the field had not had Senator Obama, she would be the president-elect of the United States today.
Bob Kuttner, therefore, I guess the logic is she was good enough to be president. Surely she's good enough to be Secretary of State, maybe more than. But you're not going for it, Bob. Why?
Well, I agree with everything Peter just said. She would be superb, but for one thing. She's married to this fellow named Bill. And there's a lot about Bill Clinton, no matter what kinds of assurances Hillary Clinton gives, that she can't control. He's famously something of a freelance. Bill Clinton has his own foreign policy. And, all cabinet members freelance from time to time. The tugs of war between heads of the National Security Council and the Secretary of State are legion. We saw Powell trying to go a different way than Rumsfeld. Mm-hmm. Strong president has to rein in a Secretary of State from time to time. Harder with Hillary Clinton because she has her own public. She's her own person. There's a rule, never hire someone you can't fire. And but for the fact that she were married to Bill Clinton, this would be a slam dunk. And the fact that you have this messy spectacle now, and this is a president-elect, no-drama Obama, who is famous for discipline, doesn't like messes, the fact that this is playing out in public is not good. And the fact that I assume most of the leaks are coming from the Clinton camp because Obama is also famous for having aides
tight-lipped.
Who don't leak.
Mm-hmm.
So here is this spectacle, according to this morning's
papers,
in any case, of Clinton's lawyers negotiating with the Obama transition team, represented by John Podesta, mm. who who used to be Clinton's chief of staff, over exactly what Bill will and won't do. The question is, why did he need to do this? It wasn't like she was the only qualified person. It wasn't like her supporters were still in a state of high agitation. They had become pretty well reconciled to the fact that this was going to be not only the president but a great president. It's really intriguing, and we will know soon whether this was a masterstroke or his first blunder. Last thing I would say, apropos Team of Rivals, it's a great idea, but Seward, the Secretary of State, Salmon Chase, Lincoln's Secretary of Treasury, they disagreed with Lincoln on many issues. None of them was married to Bill Clinton.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Hillary Clinton, Senator Hillary Clinton, as Barack Obama's Secretary of State, and the pros and cons of that if it should come to pass. The buzz is just as high as it could be in Washington and beyond, that's what's on the table here, all kinds of angles on it. I've been joined by Trudy Rubin, foreign affairs columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Ambassador Peter Galbraith is with us in the studio, and Robert Kuttner, co-founder, co-editor of the American Prospect magazine. In the break, I'm hearing a couple of phrases. One, Robert Kuttner says, complete mess here. Peter Galbraith says, masterstroke. Ambassador Galbraith, no. A masterstroke? What are you saying? Trudy, I'll come right to you. But Peter?
The world was captivated by this electoral contest in the United States between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, you had to lead the entire free world. You had an African-American and a woman competing. And imagine the impact you have then. And who are also, I think, the strongest candidates that we've had at least since 1960.
Okay.
And imagine then that they have teamed up to represent America in the world. Hillary has millions of admirers, and frankly, Bill Clinton was greatly admired around the world. To some of the criticisms of Hillary, she is very disciplined. She knows that as Secretary of State, she will be representing President Obama, and she will be a team player.
And disciplined enough to do his bidding, carry his message without fear, favor, shading, her own imprint. I mean, she was in line to be the chief, the top.
I think she has demonstrated throughout her career that she is very disciplined, and she would not accept this job if she did not understand that she was carrying out Barack Obama's foreign policy. But of course, the Secretary of State is not just the implementer; she is an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of the effort in the campaign by the two of them to accentuate their differences on some foreign policy issues, in fact, the differences are extremely small. But I would imagine there'd be give and take. But Barack Obama is going to be the decider. And with regard to Bill Clinton, I don't think his association with Senator Clinton or Secretary Clinton, if she mm-hmm. becomes secretary, is going to necessarily create a mess. He will also be a plus. And of course, it's an entirely different matter to be the spouse of the Secretary of State than it would have been to have been the first man or the first dude in the White House.
So there's the masterstroke scenario, Robert Kuttner, your complete mess characterization?
Well, complete mess refers to the next several days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is playing out in a public, messy kind of way. You have Clinton, the former president, bargaining with the new incoming president about just what kind of conflict of interest strictures he's willing to put himself
mm-hmm.
under.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a pretty thing for the public to have to watch. I agree with Peter. If Obama can pull this off and somehow rein in Bill, who's not famous for being self-disciplined, and I agree that Hillary is famous for being self-disciplined, Bill isn't. If he can pull this off, this could turn out well, but we don't know yet.
Trudy, you're listening. You're watching. You've watched for a long time. How are you weighing this one?
Well, first off, I just can't understand why Hillary Clinton wants this job. She is an immensely talented woman. There have been stories that she is blocked from achieving what she'd like to achieve in the Senate, but she is a big star. I have to believe she would have much greater influence in the Senate. Senator Kennedy has appointed her to an important position regarding health care. There is always Supreme Court out there. What I can't understand is how she thinks, and maybe she didn't imagine this before she was invited, how she could manage this two presidencies, yes, she may know she has to be subordinate, but she is a superstar in the eyes of the media, in the eyes of the world. And we are in the age of 24-hour cable television, which was not around in Lincoln's day. And what you have is sort of the Sarah Palinization of the campaign for Secretary of State, reality TV instead of reality, 24-hour cycle, will she, won't she, will he, won't he. I think it's going to be very difficult to calm that down, and she will be caught by it. And I think it will undermine her effectiveness and undermine the kind of serious coverage that she would deserve and that the job deserves. I also think that the Secretary of State job itself may require a different kind of personality now because the department is so badly in need of a shakeup, and the whole concept of diplomacy has to be rethought, its relationship to the military, and I just don't see that she's the perfect fit for that requirement.
So we've got quite a picture here and a lot of listeners who want to join the conversation. Let me turn to Austin, Texas, and John. Hi, John. You're on the air. What do you think?
I just wanted to make the point that the Bush administration sort of loaded every area of government with loyal Bushies with the intention of influencing policy for years to come. And I think it's great that Obama's bringing in talented people from Clinton years since they know what all these government offices and departments look like before Bush, too, and can sort of give Obama advice as to what areas need cleaning up, so to speak, and get a lot of these Bush people out.
This is not just any Clinton person. This is Hillary Clinton herself. Are you voting yes there, John?
I think that bringing in lots of talented Clinton people, including the Clintons themselves, will give Obama an edge on what the government looked like and what all these departments look like before Bush. And they'll know what areas to target and where to clean up.
There's a yes vote from Austin, Texas for Clinton experience. Thanks very much, John. Let's get one from Des Moines, Iowa. Suzanne, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was a very avid Obama supporter, and I am really very horribly disappointed for a number of reasons. If this wasn't a deal cut just after the primaries to have the Clinton support during the general election, then at its very least, it's bad judgment. The reason she was a popular candidate in the general election was because people were yearning for domestic policy. She's never demonstrated any great knowledge with international policy. I would much rather see a Wesley Clark or a John Kerry or even a Bill Richardson. And I think as far as Palinization effect, I think she's as inappropriate for Secretary of State as Palin was for Vice President.
So what happened to no drama Obama? The question from Des Moines. And Suzanne, thanks for that. Let me get one more from Middlebury, Connecticut. Shelley, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just want to make the point that I was a strong supporter early for Obama, and I think Hillary and Bill, along for the ride, is a fabulous choice. I agree with Mr. Galbraith. I think that she brings incredible skills to the table, and I also agree with just the caller before this one, who thought that the Clintons could help greatly in identifying places and agencies that really need to be cleaned up. And I strongly support this team of rivals. I think that Obama's understanding and reading of Lincoln will modernize it, metamorphose it into an administration that really changes politics and the face of politics in the United States, which is what we desperately wanted for a very long time.
Shelley, we've got it. Let me put these to my panel. Trudy, please, we've got yes for experience from Austin, Texas. No, because it's just kind of messy and complicated, and people want a fresh start from Des Moines. And you hear right there, bring on the Clinton team from Middlebury, Connecticut. What do you say, Trudy?
What has struck me with all of the talk shows over the weekend and all the coverage is nobody is talking about what needs to be done with the Secretary of State. President-elect Obama is going to set the overall policy at the top. But we have a wounded State Department, and it started falling apart under the Clinton presidency.
Could you define what you mean by that? Because I'm not sure everyone will understand
sure.
this wound.
Let me define it. In the Clinton years, Senator Jesse Helms wanted to cut the State Department down to size. He had a bludgeon he controlled the power. The Republicans had the seats. And so Madeleine Albright and President Clinton went along with this. USAID, the development agency, was basically neutered, its expertise and personnel slashed. The U.S. Information Agency, so important for outreach, wonderful libraries all over the Middle East where young Arab students came, gathered, heard speakers, closed, shut down. And the State Department personnel quitting and decreasing in size. That continued apace under President Bush. Language, Arabic speakers leaving, people unhappy with policy quitting, the numbers shrinking. I just heard Nick Burns, recently retired number three at State, say that there are fewer State Department personnel than there are personnel in military bands. And so what's happening is you have the military doing development and outreach in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. That has to change. You need to expand dramatically the State Department. And
why not Hillary Clinton for that? Why not Senator Secretary Clinton for that role?
Because I think, first of all, management has not been her strong point. It wasn't when she tried to redo our health insurance under President Clinton, and it didn't show up in the campaign. And secondly, I don't think foreign affairs and management of foreign affairs, that there's any indication that that could be something she could do. And most of all, I think the focus on her, the glitzy focus of the 24-hour media cycle, the speculation of whether she, Obama, or Biden were in charge, would undercut the serious work that needs to be done. I actually just wrote a column supporting General Jones, a dark horse in this campaign, who I think would be fabulous and has been an advisor to Obama's campaign, somebody who was commandant of the Marines, the head of NATO, speaks languages, grew up abroad, has been special emissary to Iraq and to the Middle East, knows Afghanistan, has managed big organizations. I think someone like that is needed.
Ambassador Galbraith, Hillary Clinton, highest, best use here in this role? You know, Trudy's not alone in saying maybe the domestic front is her strong suit. What about the management issue? You hear the problems at the State Department. They are legion deep. They need somebody who will be on top of them. What about it?
Well, she has lots of foreign affairs experience, and she ran for president, where inevitably the most important job of the president is national security. We've had a long tradition in this country of choosing senior politicians to be our secretaries of state, starting with Thomas Jefferson, including Daniel Webster in this century, Charles Evans Hughes, and Cordell Hull. And many of them have been very successful. It's really only recently that we've had the foreign policy types. And frankly, if you look at the post-war secretaries of state, it's a pretty undistinguished and ineffectual lot. So I think coming back to somebody who has political skills, has power, is good. She's a senator, and she understands the appropriations and authorization process. I agree with much of what Trudy said, except that the decline of the in the State Department goes back long before Clinton. This situation of more people in military bands than there are Foreign Service officers, that's been true since the 70s. But Hillary is somebody who would be in a position to try to get this Democratic Senate and Democratic House to increase resources. I have to say, though, and I worked for 14 years for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I handled the State Department Authorization Bill. There's a systemic problem. When the Secretary of Defense comes to Capitol Hill, he usually talks about resources, equipment, weapons
systems,
billions?
How manpower. Many hundreds of billions?
When the Secretary of State comes to Capitol Hill, inevitably, she is talking about policy. Even if she wants to talk about resources, what the senators and congressmen want to hear is about policy, and she has to defend the policy.
Bob Kuttner, star power. Hillary Clinton clearly has it. We've got callers. Peter Galbraith saying put it to work, and her knowledge of Capitol Hill, where budgets get made.
Well, you know, I want to disagree with Trudy in the sense that I certainly share the concern that the State Department has been eviscerated, but I think the task of rebuilding is the hands-on job of the number two person, the number three person. The secretary is the out front political person, diplomatic person, has to sell Congress on the idea and the president on the idea of more resources. So I don't think that disqualifies her. To me, the problem is too much Clinton administration all over the incoming Obama administration. We've got Eric Holder. Mm-hmm. We've got Rahm Emanuel.
Who was Deputy Attorney General and now in line to be AG.
Well, and this was going to be change. Mm-hmm. And you can only retain your credibility as a change agent if you appoint so many people from the last administration. It's not as if the only competent people in the country to take senior positions in the Obama administration are people who serve with the Clintons.
Does that mean
Clinton
you wouldn't
themselves.
Put Hillary Clinton anywhere in an Obama cabinet?
No. Well,
or this is just too high for your taste?
The bill concern, I think, would operate anywhere. This is exceptionally high profile, so it raises the stakes. But I think from my point of view, and this may sound jaded, there's one silver lining. It does limit the number of other former Clinton people that he can appoint. And my particular area is economic policy. Mm. I would be appalled if we had one of the usual suspects from the Clinton era appointed to the Treasury Secretary, because mm-hmm. that was an area where the Clinton policy was really misguided. I think foreign policy, he did well. I have no doubt that Eric Holder will be a fine Attorney General. But there's a limited number to how many Clinton alums he can appoint and still be credible as the change agent.
So here's the change theme pushing back against Madam Secretary Clinton. Let's get a call from Walpole, New Hampshire. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I said that I believe that I respect Senator Clinton. I'd like to see her stay in the Senate, because I really think that man who said, "Don't hire who you can't fire," is true on the mark. I mean, if there were ever any kind of disagreement, it would just be so awkward. And I do think that there's a lot of baggage that comes from her association with the Clinton administration and all. But I like her. But I think there are several capable, qualified people who could handle the State Department.
Lynn, thanks very much for your call. Don't hire who you can't fire. Trudy Rubin, Lynn is picking up on the potential, you know, sort of power dynamic and real rivalry, even within a team of rivals, potentially here.
Yes, I mean, that's a reason why I think it would be unwieldy. A Secretary of State that's effective has to speak for the president. I just find it hard to imagine Hillary Clinton, with Bill behind her, who has done so much work overseas, is going to be viewed as or be able to be the voice of her president. She has her own voice. And I do think there will inevitably be tension there. And she must be seen as part of a team. I think it's too bulky for a team. The analogy is totally wrong, but like a boa swallowing an elephant, the bulge is too big.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Hillary Clinton, potentially, as Barack Obama's Secretary of State, looking at the pros and cons. We've been joined by Ambassador Peter Galbraith. He was named the first U.S. ambassador to Croatia by President Bill Clinton. Robert Kuttner is here, co-founder, co-editor of The American Prospect, author of Obama's Challenge. And Trudy Rubin's here from the Philadelphia Inquirer, always a steady eye on what's going on in foreign policy. Let's get a call from Roberta in Hamden, Connecticut. Roberta, you're on the air.
Hi. I feel like some people on your panel, as well as the callers, they don't seem to know who they elected as president, because they talk about Obama being overshadowed by Clinton, or she won't take her
marching orders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Pardon?
Her marching orders.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, and anybody with half a brain must understand that that's not Obama's way. He wouldn't even, to me anyway, and I'm a supporter, although I was a Hillary supporter at the beginning, but to me, he's not the kind of man who would have even considered this if he thought she wouldn't, number one, do a good job, and number two, follow his lead. I mean, why would he want to do that? The man is brilliant. He's going to be our new president. He's already proven how fabulous his judgment is. And for people to sit around and talk about, oh, they must have made a deal for her to support him, it's all bull. At least I think so. And it makes me crazy to hear them talk about she'd be fine if it weren't for her husband. And I think that is, I mean, he today in the New York Times said that he's going to show everybody all of his money, where it comes from for his foundation and the wonderful work that he's doing.
Open the books and show everything, and it's a lot of money, and it's from all over. Roberta, you lay it down strong and clear. Bob Kuttner, how about it? Roberta says, wait a minute, don't underestimate this president. If he is about to tap Hillary Clinton to do this job, he must have very good reasons for it. He must believe that she'll, you know, line up with his agenda and do the necessary.
Well, two comments. First of all, I admire Obama enormously, and every time during the campaign I found myself second-guessing him, he was right and I was wrong. But he doesn't walk on water, and presidents have been known to make mistakes. And if this turns into a circus and there's a huge backlash and he can't come to terms with Bill Clinton on how much Clinton discloses and how much Clinton is willing to constrain his ability to raise money, then it will have been a blunder. And in fact, Clinton did not offer to disclose everything. Otherwise, this would be over. They're still dickering about what he would disclose. He's offered to disclose going forward. He hasn't offered to disclose what he's raised in the past. There are lots of potentials for conflicts of interest if he is kind of running his own foreign policy and using that as bait to raise money. He's a walking conflict of interest. So I admire Obama enormously, and I'm sure he's thought this through more carefully than any of the four of us. But I still think presidents sometimes make mistakes, and this could be one.
Trudy, why do you think Barack Obama, if indeed, because we don't know, it's a very small circle, but it sure looks like he's offered this, why would no drama Obama have done it in the first place? If, in your estimation, it's brought up all kinds of, you know, just sort of smoke and unnecessary trouble.
Well, clearly he does relish the idea of bringing a rival into the tent. He has made it his mantra that he's going to go forward not only in a bipartisan way across the aisle, but in terms of pulling the Democratic Party together. The concept is admirable. He is brilliant, but I agree with Bob. Nobody walks on water. And I think what surprises me the most is why Hillary would want it. To me, the saddest thing is that this is a woman of incredible capacity who would make a fabulous majority leader in the Senate. She seems blocked.
But that's
could
not
that
open
be,
to her.
I know, but it's very aggravating. She should be Supreme Court Chief Justice. Certainly a seat on the Supreme Court is open to her. Chief Justice, well, the Chief Justice is very young. I mean, you know, but it seems odd because the right things are blocked and she won't be president, then to go into a position where she would have to be subordinate. In some ways, I think her talent is too big and now her stature is too big.
May
to
I venture
fit.
A brief answer
yes,
to that
Bob,
question?
To the why?
She wants to be president of the United States. She will
still
be just young enough, 8 years from now, she'll be 68, mm-hmm. to run for president. Mm-hmm. And she will be able to demonstrate her foreign policy chops. It's a great job. It's one more ticket to punch. That's why she wants to do this.
Ambassador Galbraith, what do you say? Why would she want it? With all of her fields of expertise, this may not be at the very top of those. With the strictures she would be under in carrying President Obama's agenda, not her own, do you see political ambition or service to country here?
Well, I think your caller, Roberta, had it right. This is not about Hillary Clinton. This is about Barack Obama and his judgment. And I agree with her entirely. He would not have chosen her unless he felt that this made his administration stronger and that, of course, she would loyally serve him. As to why she wants it, I don't think she's sitting there calculating about how she can get to be president. And if she was, then probably she'd be better off continuing in the Senate. I think she is considering it, and we don't know that it's been offered, and mm-hmm. we don't mm-hmm. know that she's going mm-hmm. to accept. But I think she's considering it because it is an extremely important job and a place where she can make an enormous contribution to change and to making our country better. And incidentally, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a lot of people who served in the Clinton administration. I mean, what the test of our foreign policy is got to be effectiveness. Now, and people who have served in government, who have demonstrated themselves to be effective, are probably good candidates. Now, of course, we don't want people to be just repeating the same policies in the 90s.
There is the change theme, and it was pretty strong in the Obama.
But at least in terms of foreign policy, the Clinton foreign policy was very successful. You can argue about the domestic policy, but I think almost everybody would agree it was a great success, certainly as compared to the last 8 years. So having the people who were involved in that, I think that tends to be a plus.
Let's go to Nancy in Maynard, Massachusetts. Nancy, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. I think your guests have done a good job of covering the territory, but I'd like to go back to the point that was brought up about Hillary's personality and the needs of the State Department. And from my point of view of my own background, and I'm a psychologist, I feel that her personality is not at all appropriate for this particular position as Secretary of State. There are other seats in the cabinet that she could probably do a good job in.
What's the personality mismatch, Nancy, that you see?
Well, there are those of us who feel that our presence in the world has been too much accent on the tough, on the abrasive, and I would even say on the imperial. And to go back to a phrase of Fulbright, I think it was the arrogance of power. And we had hoped that maybe now we would go in the opposite direction. And as for the previous Clinton administration, I was not that happy during the Clinton administration. I had better hopes of him. And it's true that compared with Bush, he was, degrees better. But that's not much. That's not saying much. And there were times when I heard Madeleine Albright, forthrightly stating the American tough position, and I just wanted to cringe because I could see how this looked to the rest of the world, and it just seemed like such a waste.
You're looking for something maybe less tough, less abrasive, less imperial. Trudy, let me come to you. A couple of things here. The Weekly Standard, conservative, out of Washington, today, saying, hey, Hillary Clinton may look good. It may look good to conservatives that she started her presidential campaign as first feminist, they say, and ended it as the warrior queen, more Margaret Thatcher than Gloria Steinem. And then there's David Ignatius in the Washington Post saying, with Barack Obama's tremendous image around the world, why would he want to put any other big character in front of it? Who could be more lustrous, more interesting and magnetic right now globally than his own? And then his own. Here's Hillary, one character who could eclipse that, I suppose, or partly.
Well, one doesn't want her. I'm sure he would not want her to eclipse. It's the personality tug. It's interesting what you mentioned about the Weekly Standard. Perhaps Hillary was popular with them because of her very tough position on Iran, and she used an unfortunate turn of phrase in one of her speeches about wiping Iran out. I think it was in response to a question of whether if Iran attacked Israel, what would the United States do?
Obliterate was the word.
Obliterate, yes. Mm-hmm. That word could come back to haunt her as Secretary of State. However, Obama would be the policymaker. But I find it funny, if the Weekly Standard is endorsing her, then one has to ask, what is it they think that the country would be getting? But still, I come back to the issue of whether such an outsized personality, even if Obama thinks that they could work in tandem, whether she would be unhappy at the restrictions, and then that would make it harder for her to be effective.
Let's go to Peter in Moline, Illinois. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I am a strong Hillary Clinton supporter, and I just believe she's absolutely the perfect choice for this. I think the face that could represent America in the world needs to be Hillary Clinton. And I think it's important to remember that Bill Clinton served this country very well when he was president. I'm real tired of hearing who she's married to. I heard people during her primary campaign go, well, we can't elect her because you get Bill too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, knock it off, people said she could never become the senator from New York. She's passionate, she's focused, and she represents, I believe, the kind of change that Barack Obama's looking for.
Knock it off with the bill stuff, you say, Peter, in Moline, Illinois. Bob Kuttner, how about it? I mean, isn't there a point at which there's no statute of limitations on being married to an ex-president?
Well, it's not that she's married to an ex-president. It's that the ex-president she happens to be married to is running his own foreign policy, and is commingling his personal fundraising, his global initiative, his fundraising for his foundation, his lecture fees.
His library.
Mm-hmm. He did, you know, he's done some rather dubious things, I think the worst of which was the Kazakhstan caper, where he fronted for a Canadian businessman who was trying to get a contract with Kazakhstan to exploit its uranium. He tried to pretty up a very loathsome dictator, and in exchange for a contribution to his library, I mean,
$30 million, if I recall correctly.
So somehow, Bill has to put all of this away. So this is not simply the symbolism or the statute of limitations of her being married to a former president. It's what Bill is doing now.
Let's go to Lynn in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Hi, Lynn. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I might be a little cynical on this. I am a huge Obama fan, but I do recognize that he's a politician. And I'm thinking this might be a brilliant choice of his because he might be calculating that she won't put country first. She'll put her own advancement first. And that either way, if she says no, he's now sort of won points with those 18 million cracks that had wanted her in. And maybe he's calculating that she wouldn't take the job.
Calculating that she wouldn't take it. But if it's offered, hard to walk away from. Peter Galbraith, if it's really offered, can you see Hillary Clinton walking away from it? Can you imagine?
Well, I think that's possible. And we don't know for sure that it's been offered. And incidentally, there's a strong Democratic bench of other candidates.
Trudy
John Kerry,
several. Yep, yep.
Bill Richardson, Richard Holbrooke, among others. But I presume that all this speculation would not be out there, both with comments from inside the Obama camp and the Clinton camp, unless she had been offered it, and indeed that she was inclined to accept. I can't believe that a week of speculation is going to do anybody any good. Let me just make one point about her star power. She is not going to eclipse Barack Obama, who is the president of the United States. He has the top job. He is the man who defeated her in the primary, and to me, this just demonstrates how confident Barack Obama is that he is prepared to take someone who was his principal rival and make good use of her, because he had to recognize what was so obvious in the campaign, which is just how good she was, and she to see her speaking for the United States around the world, she is very effective.
Trudy, we've got Clarence here from the website, onpointradio.org, where there's a great conversation going on. But he says, you know, you don't need a career diplomat here. James Baker was considered quite successful by his supporters, far from a career diplomat. He cites that as an example of a Secretary of State that really worked with the president he represented, George Bush the First. How about that, Trudy?
Well, that raises a very interesting question, because James Baker. Mm. Yes, I said
nearly.
that a slip for a reason. Mm. James Baker was extremely close to the first President Bush, and he had the power that came with the world recognizing that when he spoke, he was speaking for the president, and the president would always back him up. I think one of the interesting questions is, could Hillary Clinton develop that kind of relationship with President-elect Obama, where the two of them were truly working in tandem, because that's the kind of Secretary of State that could be really effective? And that is a question that hangs out there.
You think this is a done deal now, Trudy? People are still talking about it, but could it get this far along without being basically baked in the cake? Is there any way to back out of this if Obama wanted to?
Given the leaks that have been coming out in the past 24 hours, apparently from Hillary Clinton circle, and I hate to even get into this gossip politics because, frankly, I don't know, but it's hard to believe stories would be out there about her not being sure if she wasn't not sure.
Bob.
And that's apart from the question of whether the offer will really be made.
Robert Cutner, do you think it's a done deal?
I think the offer has been made, or they would not be putting all this stuff out, contingent on Bill providing enough assurances.
Showing all, telling
to
all.
To make it prudent.
And that's a lot to show.
Yeah, that's why this is dragging on. I mean, this is very uncharacteristic Obama, because he does not like messy public situations. And This is messy.
Maybe that's why the out is left open, because if they can't come to agreement on what gets shown, Hillary Clinton
she
needs a way to walk away.
I don't think it's an issue of what gets shown. I think it's really an issue of what President Clinton will be doing from here on in.
Right.
And I think that he understood that if his wife became president, he would have a different role. He has to understand if she becomes Secretary of State, he will have a different role.
Crunch time for cabinet building. Ambassador Peter Galbraith, wonderful to have you with us in the studio. Robert Kuttner of the American Prospect, thanks for being here. Trudy Rubin in Philadelphia. Trudy, thanks so much for joining us.
Very welcome.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.